Interesting what God's been doing and saying this morning. From the songs that we've sung to the communion to the prophetic words we had. I was torn, well actually I was asked earlier this week to step in for Luke because of the family situation. And on Monday I had absolutely nothing to share because I wasn't due to be preaching for another month or so. And it's been a while since I preached, so I really wasn't there. And I said, God, what am I going to do? But God's faithful. God takes care of these things. We were told around communion this morning about God's faithfulness. And God didn't disappoint me. The problem is he gave me two things and I had to choose which one I was going to share from. One of them was the book of Malachi, which I've been studying a bit this year as looking at an Old Testament book. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi has a go at the church or the people at the time for disregarding God. One of the things he has a go at people for is bringing blemished lambs for the sacrifice. Lame, blind, diseased lambs. But the Passover was meant to be a lamb without blemish. And Malachi gets stuck into the people. Because in their minds they thought it was good enough to bring the rubbish before God. That's a message for another day. It's a challenge for our minds, isn't it? Jesus was the lamb without blemish. And the only reason he achieved what he did, because he was the unblemished lamb. Anyway, as I said, that's for another day. I want to put my glasses on so I can see what I'm doing. At least someone applauded it. God's up there saying, yay, he's listening to me. The other thing that God gave me was a verse out of Psalm 37. In verse 4 it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Boy, has that scripture been used out of context for too many years. What is the desire of your heart? And how do you get it? The Bible says we've got to delight ourselves in the Lord. What does it mean to delight in anything, let alone the Lord? Well, I started to think a little bit about that, and the only thing that came to my mind is the time I fell in love with my wife. I delighted in her. And I began to reflect on what that meant at that time. What it meant is I didn't want to be apart from her. I would rather be with her than anybody else. And to my detriment, I don't do this very often, but she loves Maltesers. And every time we got together, I would bring her a box of Maltesers because I delighted in her. And I began to think, what present or what gift do I bring to God if I delight in him? What does it really mean to delight in God? Well, you know, we just had that word about coming into the Holy of Holies. Cheryl brought a word about a new day. Well, there's a new day coming. And we're going to be in the Holy of Holies. And we're going to be worshipping face to face with our God. Really, if we can't delight in him here, how can we do it then? They're just words on a page, most of these things. We misread scripture time and time and time again to suit our own selfish attitudes, our own selfish ways. What does he mean about giving us the desires of our heart? Well, the desires of my heart change daily. When I was young, I wanted to be a trillionaire. Wanted to have all the money in the world, buy fancy things for myself. Sadly, that passed my generation, and my son's taken over. He's not a trillionaire, but he's doing pretty good. And he buys the toys that he wants. But I don't believe the scripture's talking about that. But if I delight myself in the Lord, then I'm going to want what he wants. And he wants me to be faithful to him. He wants me to be honest. He wants me to love people the way he loves people. He wants me to be the witness he's called me to be. Oh, I can't stand here and say I delight myself in the Lord, because I don't have all those desires and many others all the time in the presence of God. But I decided to look at the whole psalm. And I want to read Psalm 37 to you. Hopefully I can do it with some gusto so that you won't go to sleep. Excuse me a second. Can't do it with a runny nose. Verse 1 says, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong." So many evil people today that seem to prosper when the righteous don't. Bible says, don't fret about it. God's in control. He has your life in his hands, fully in his hands. So don't fret. "For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the new day. The justice of your cause like the noonday sun." Another one, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret again when men succeed in their ways." You know, it's interesting. If you're honest, being a Christian, you believe God is the source of all that you have. And sometimes when you get yourself into positions and you can see no way out, you begin to think like humans think. And I used to, a few years ago, with financial troubles, thought, well, I'll buy a lottery ticket. I'll win that and it'll get me out of the problem that I was in. And then we see just the other day, some young man in our nation's capital won $50 million in Powerball. I hope it doesn't destroy his life, as it has so many others. "Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, and those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more, praise God. There is a time coming when Jesus will come again and destroy the wicked in this world. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked." Hallelujah! God laughs at them. We think they're going to destroy us and get us into trouble. God says, "Ha ha 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 ha." He looks down and thinks, what a joke. What a joke that the wicked are going to prosper. I haven't laughed like that for years. Most people will probably say, don't do it again. But that's another story. The Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. but their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better a little that the righteous have than the wealth of a wicked man. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. God upholds us. One of his many precious and great promises. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. We heard about the inheritance that is before us earlier this morning. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the field. They will vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those who he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. God delights in the ways of a righteous man. God delights in your ways and will uphold you with his hand. Will not fall down. You will not be destroyed. I was young, and now I'm old. How true that is. I've got to put on the end of older. I was young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. God will never forsake you. The Bible says he will never forsake you. Never forsake you. Never leave you to perish. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. But the Lord will not leave them in their power, or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen the wicked and ruthless man flourishing like the green tree in its native soil, but he soon passes away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. Where is the future for the man of peace? Where is the future for the man of peace? Coming into the Holy of Holies before the Lord God, being brought in by the blood of the Lamb. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. One of the things about delighting yourself in the Lord is taking refuge in him. Coming to him and delighting in his ways. One of the things that there's a section in the back of the Bible about speaking about new Christians and how new Christians should delight themselves in beginning to read the Word of God. One of the ways we can delight ourselves in the Lord is to read the Word of God. Not just read it, but understand it. Ask the Holy Spirit to explain what God's saying, because not all things are just plain to the eye. There are some deeper things there. I know, and I'm sure you probably know also, than when you first read this book. A lot of it you had no idea what it was saying. Some of it you looked at it and you did understand it. Then umpteen years later, for me 30 odd years later plus, God hasn't changed my limited understanding of the word 35 years ago. But he certainly expanded my understanding of what that word says. And we need to keep allowing God to expand our understanding of the Word of God. Because some of the things we believe when we were young are true. But it was just a part of our understanding. The Bible says that when we go to be with Him, we will know as we are known. But until then, we look into a glass dimly, the Word says. And we don't understand everything. We don't know everything. And that's why I was challenged looking at the book of Malachi. And since I've been a Christian, the only thing I've heard out of Malachi is Malachi 3:10, which everyone probably knows, where God says, "How you've robbed me." And the people say, "How have we robbed you?" In tithes and offerings. And it's used for encouraging people to do the thing that God wants and bring their tithe into the storehouse. But I've discovered there's a lot more in the book than just that. And when I understand it a bit more, hopefully I'll have the opportunity to share it with you people. So in my limited time of putting this together, that's what I have. To encourage you to delight yourself in the Lord. Want to be with Him. Want to speak with Him. And I was just thinking for Amy and for Steph. The Bible says that when you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you. So as you're interceding for these people, if you don't know what to say, let in silence before God, and the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you. That's a promise. That's a promise that we really need to hang on to. In delighting ourselves for the Lord, we want to be and do what He's called us to do. We need to speak to people about Jesus. Doesn't matter whether they believe us or not. Doesn't matter if they get upset with us, because some of them will. It's like a person I know, every time I speak about Jesus, he wants to push a being, a thing, a power, anything but Jesus. He's an interesting man. He doesn't believe in evolution and what fools tell us, how we got here. But he can't accept that Jesus made it. And that's sad for him. There's other people I share with that they get damn right angry. And you wonder why. There's other people, Christians, that I've spoken to about the things of God. I've actually done what I've done here. I've just read a scripture. And because of their boneheadedness, I suppose, some people. I did this with a person a few years ago and just read a scripture. And the first thing that came out of his mouth, that was your interpretation. I said, I haven't given you my interpretation yet. I've just read the verse word for word out of your Bible. So you get this sort of stuff from religious people. We're not called to be religious. We're called to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that spotless lamb that paid the price for our life, the one who is in the Holy of Holies, the one who one day, for us who believe, will stand face to face with him. Because we will not be in this body anymore. We'll be in the spirit. It's the only way that mankind can stand face to face to God and live is in the spirit. You know, Matthew talked the other week about some things about Paul and some of the things that he said and some of the things that people have misconstrued. Bible says that those in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. We are all one in Christ. It's interesting. The Bible uses the masculine for God and for angels. But my understanding that angels are genderless. And when our spirits are in heaven, we are genderless. Male and females exist here on the earth. That's why in heaven, both men and women will be part of the bride of Christ. And yet down here, we have this thing going through our community and around the world, this gender fight, this gender bias. Women are getting upset all the time because there's not enough of them in Parliament. There's got to be a quota. There's not enough of them on the boardrooms. We've got to have a quota. That's not what it's all about. I understand where it's coming from because those men out there don't really see women as their equals in a lot of cases. But God does. We're all the same. Jesus came to save that soul part of us that struggles with this. And we need to delight ourselves in the Lord and see things the way he sees it, not the way we see it. And the desires of my heart should not be a big house or a car or a boat or endless holidays or a good wife or good kids. The desire of my heart should be to see people saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. Then God will give me the desires of my heart, because my desires are in line with his, and that should make me happy. That should encourage me more and more and more to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But not taking away from our humanity and the things that come before our lives. Every one of us in this room have had something come before our lives that's tried to destroy us. It was mentioned this morning also about Satan killing. Well, the Bible says that Satan comes to kill, to rob and destroy. But the rest of the scripture says, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it in abundance. Not mediocre stuff, but in abundance. And life's got nothing to do with big houses, good jobs, plenty of money in the bank, and as it goes on. I know, I've learnt that in the last few years. Because in the natural, all I've worked for all my life has been taken away. Don't have any of that. But my God's still standing at my side. He's faithful. And all that stuff doesn't matter. You know, he says you come into the world and you go out of it with nothing. Everything we gain here. And yet people put so much emphasis on gaining earthly riches. And it's not going to do any of us a good. I remember when I first got saved, a friend of mine who was a business owner, doing really well. And I was speaking with him one day and asking the question, why do you really bother putting so much work and effort into gaining what you're doing when you're going to die and someone else is going to have it? And he began to think until his wife came along full of Satan and destroyed it, ended up destroying our friendship. We don't see or hear from them ever again. But he started to think. Whether it did any good after years, I don't know. But we need to delight ourselves in the Lord, do the things and desire the things that he wants. We need to pray. We need to spend time alone with God every day. Don't have to make a big thing of it. But we need to be asking the question of God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? You know, my desire has changed so much in the last couple of years. I don't think I'll ever reach it, but that's doubt, not faith. But my desire for today, for the rest of my life, is to be another Paul. To preach the good news to the world. That, hey, there's a better way. Don't listen to fools, atheists like Dawkins that says that things were created out of nothing, but then they redefine nothing as being something. As I say in Matthew this morning, I'd like to be able to get hold of some of the world's greatest mathematicians, not scientists and all this sort of stuff, and just ask them to work out the odds of evolution actually happening. And without even knowing, I can guarantee you it would be billions and billions to one against evolution being possible. But the odds of creation are better than winning the lottery. You know, God's given us the whole story. One of the things I was encouraged to do as a young Christian is to read the Word of God. I don't read it as much today as I used to, and that's to my detriment. But you've got to get it in there to bring it out. And you can't rely on the Word of God if you don't know what it says. Or you think what it says. I remember Julie's father had me one day. I preached and said, but I'll try and think of the scripture I used, which was wrong. Something leads in destruction. What was it? Oh, come back, please. Come back, please. Anyway, I got it wrong. He said to me afterwards, the Bible doesn't say what you said. I said, yes, it does. He says, no, it doesn't. Anyway, he opened the Bible and showed me. And, that's what I said, pride comes before a fall. And people quote that all the time. But it showed me plainly. The Bible says that pride comes before destruction. And a fall and destruction are so far apart. I can fall down there and it doesn't really do much. But if I drop off of there and get destroyed, there's a hell of a difference. And hell's the difference between the two. So we've got to know what the Word of God says, not what we think it says. Pastor Mike's been really good over the last year or so, showing us the way we look at the Word of God. We've got to look at it in context. We've got to look at it in the words that it was written and understand the original meanings to get it right. So we might be doing some things that we think we're delighting ourselves in God with. And I may be wrong, but it's an individual journey we have with God. I wish I could remember chapter and verse, but I have scripture that pops into my mind and pops out just as quick because the game's gone again. It might come before I finish, but I'll probably finish before him. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. What and who changes, and it has to be that way, is us. And if we don't change to fit the pattern of God, we're going to miss out somewhere along the line. Maybe in this life, maybe in the life to come. I hear all sorts of stories coming Well, it's interesting. I don't know if you've noticed it, since homosexual marriage was legalised in Australia, every second program on TV now is full of homosexuals. Every program. You look at the cooking programs, you look at the building programs, you look at this and you look at that. There's homosexuals everywhere because it's fully accepted. We just had this law changed in New South Wales that people cannot protest outside of abortion clinics until these women there's another choice. The world says, and the women in the world say, that they can have an abortion because it's their bodies. Well, hello, the baby's not part of their body. It's in them, but it's not their body. So how can you justify the killing of kids? Millions of them around the world. Simply because they believe that the baby is part of the woman's body. It's not. It's in there, but it's a separate life. God plainly said, thou shalt not kill. Anyway, I'm digressing. What I want you to do this morning, I want you to encourage you to delight yourself in God. That as you get up in the morning, as Cheryl spoke, it's a new day. Get up there and say, God, thank you. I thank him for a new day ever since I had a triple bypass. There's a possibility there's one morning I may not wake up. But if I go to sleep and wake up in heaven, what a way to go. It's better than being run over by a tram. There's a new day coming, people. We're going to be in the Holy of Holies. And all the issues and troubles of this earth are going to disappear. But our journey here can be made so much better if we genuinely, and truthfully, faithfully delight ourselves in the Lord. Want what he wants. Not get up in the morning saying, I'm going to have steak and eggs for breakfast when he wants you to have a bowl of cereal. Don't zip up to the Fink River and watch the desert races going on at the moment. As much as some four-wheel drivers are probably up there doing that right now. Not to say you can't be involved in that sort of stuff, but we need to honour God first. And when I get to share one day out of Malachi, it's all about honouring God first and giving him the best. He wants to give you the best, but he wants the best from you. And if we give him our best, he will give us the best. And what can be the promises of that? What can be the outcome of that? You know, it's just blows my mind when I think what God's done from the beginning until now and what he's going to do between now and then. He is always with us. He's always speaking to us. But we need to listen to that soft, still voice of the Holy Spirit. Because God doesn't shout at me very often unless I've done something wrong. But in my general relationship with God, it's just that soft, still voice. And like all of you, I want to hear him say one day, good, well done, good and faithful servant. Come in to my Father's house. He promised when he left, he's going to make a place for us. And he doesn't tell us what it's all about. Except he says, you've got really good imaginations, but it ain't good enough to work out what I've got in store for you. So let's, in our daily lives, think about what it means to delight ourselves in the Lord. It's a personal thing. Because I'm not you and you're not me. Your journey with God from salvation to now is completely different. Although they're similar. It's like the faces. Every face here is exactly the same. but completely different. Just imagine if we all looked exactly the same. We wouldn't know who I was. I'd look in the mirror and say it was Luke looking back at me. And he'd look in the mirror and think, thank God it's not Laurie looking back at me. Anyway, can the musos come? Father, we thank you that, Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you want us to delight ourselves in you and not in earthly things. But Lord, our promise of eternal life is in you, not in the riches of this world, not in the things of this earth. Lord, you've called us to be witnesses. And Lord, we can only be witnesses of you with your help. So we ask, Holy Spirit, come and fill us again. Lord, I know that when we get up in the morning, we should ask for this every day, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for not leaving us nor forsaking us, taking us on a journey to that promised land. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.